Are we okay now? I mean, the election's over. Signs are being taken down. Ads are slowly falling off the TV. And whether your candidate won or lost, it's done. Deep breath. So are we okay now? We're here in this building full time. There's a new pastor wandering the halls once in a while. And all the trials of the past few years are nothing but distant memories. So are we okay now? You made it through your work week. You made it to this point. You got up this morning, got dressed. Props to those who wrangled kids into clothes. And now we're here, ready to experience the rest and relaxation that only the Word of God can provide. So are we okay now? We can all sense the elephant in the room, right? We all know what's going to happen. Yeah, the election's over. Well, that doesn't mean the ads are over, or the campaigns are over, or the disagreements are over, or the divisions, or the rioting, or the protesting. No, before you know it, another election cycle is going to come right around the corner. It'll be just where we started. And we know what's going to happen. Even though we're in this place at this time right now, there's still going to be divisions in our church. There's still going to be things that we need to get used to, things that are going to take some adjusting, and there's always going to be that air floating around, the air of reminiscence, of the times once past, the good old days that these current days cannot compare to. And we know what's going to happen. In the not-so-distant future, you're going to leave this place of spiritual rest, head back to the places of physical rest, and before you know it, you're going to find your head on the pillow, realizing that the next time you open your eyes, the work week is going to start again. So are we okay now? Of course we're not okay. It's never going to be okay. You know how it goes. It's maddening when you think everything's falling into place, when everything's going just right, when you're making some forward progress. Well, that's when something either expected or unexpected collapses, and then all of that progress that you made just falls apart like a tower of cards crashing down to the ground, just to be meticulously set up once again, expecting the same outcome. No matter what we do, we just can't make ourselves okay. And I wish I could fill your heart with confidences and promises this morning, telling you that it's going to be better, that the days are looking up, that the hard times are behind us and there's nothing but smooth sailing ahead. But that would be a lie. Because here's our reality. The world that we live in right now is not okay. In our current situations in this world, they're not okay. And there's more not okay where that came from. It's only going to get worse. Here's what God says. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Throughout the scriptures, this is how God describes the last days. Days full of distress, days full of faithlessness, days full of hatred and betrayal, liars and deceivers, an increase of wickedness and apathy. What a list to start a Sunday morning, huh? And while these days are going to be difficult for the entire world at large, most importantly and most specifically, it is going to be difficult for Christians. Because this is a Satan attack. And he's getting desperate. He knows his time is short. So what he's going to do is he's going to muster all the hellfire he can possibly get from his eternal infernal prison and throw it at you to convince you that God has already abandoned you, to convince you that your Christianity is not worth the not okay. Being a Christian is going to get harder and harder every single day, but maybe not for the reasons you would expect. Yes, it will get more difficult because the anti-Christian sentiment in the media will always grow. And yes, the Christian values in our society are diminishing. And yes, the wickedness and lovelessness and hatred and you name it of this world is growing more and more every day. And while these things are detrimental and damaging to our faith, it's important to recognize them for what they really are. These are smoke screens of Satan, distraction tactics to convince you that the real problem is out there. The real problem is with them and not me. The Christian battleground is both an external battle and an internal battle. And that internal battle is the battle that's the most important. Because right now, at this very moment, Satan is riding into combat to meet you on the field of battle, and he is after very specific spoils of war. He wants your attention, your loyalty, your trust, your devotion, your faith, your heart. And riding side by side with him are powerful generals. Generals look like the sins that we convince ourselves are no big deal. The sins that we sweep under the rug because, you know what, they didn't hurt anybody. The sins that we are confident that we can conquer on our own. And these generals wield mighty weapons. These weapons look like the things that we so often prioritize in our life above our Savior. Those things that we put our hope in to make us happy if we only had them. The places that we put our trust and confidence to make everything okay. Right now, you are in the middle of that battle. And we look around this world, we look around our church, we even look at our own hearts, and we see the consequences and the carnage of this conflict. But like any war, it is so easy to romanticize the battle when you're off the front lines. It is so easy to romanticize the battle when you're sitting comfortably in church, surrounded by your fellow Christians, and to say to yourself, when I'm in that situation, I'll do better. I'll beat the odds. I'll do what the rest of the Christians could not. I'll fight Satan and win. And that's just where Satan wants you. Isolated and alone. Convinced and confident in your own ability to conquer. Because here's the reality. The world that we live in is not okay. Our present situations and circumstances are not okay. And on your own, you are not okay. But you are not alone. So you are better than okay. Because Judgment Day is coming. Maybe for you, the end of that last sentence was a little anticlimactic. Maybe it was a little jarring, kind of like a scratch in an old record, or a warble in an old cassette, or a skip in an old CD, or for those modern people, a break in the Wi-Fi. Judgment Day and okay? Can those two things go together? Because when we hear the word judgment, we know what to expect as sinners. We can imagine God's courtroom, right? We know that the punishment for sin is death. We know that sin is a capital crime to God, and that the only just verdict is guilty. So how can things be okay? Well, if that's where our story stopped, Judgment Day would be a day that is worse than not okay. And for some people, it will. But not for you. One day you'll see. One day you'll understand. One day you'll walk into that courtroom and see Satan's pointing finger and hear his boisterous accusations. One day you'll sheepishly lift your eyes to the one who sits on the judge's seat, the one who controls your eternal destiny. And in that moment, you'll understand why you are better than okay, even though everything looks worse than not okay. Because the one who holds the gavel, the one who strives in the book of life, is the same one that after seeing your sin, hearing Satan's accusation, and understanding the consequences of your sin, planned for your release. The one who sits on the judge's seat is the one who before time began decided that he would take your place, that he would be considered guilty, even though he was innocent, so that you, the guilty, might be declared innocent. Your judge is the one who decided that he would become the object of God's wrath, so that you, the ones who justly deserve that sentence, would be the object of God's mercy and affection and love. The one who sits on the judge's seat is the one who decided before time began that he would give you his holiness and that he would take your sin, that he would give you his life and he would take your death. Your righteous judge is the one who sits on the throne over all of creation to this very moment, and yet he forgives. He forgives every sin. To this day, he intercedes for you by name, by your face, before God himself. The one who sits on the throne was once a baby in a manger, once a humiliated man on a cross, but no longer. No, the judge will return to the earth in a full display of his godly power, and on that day he will trample every sin, every demon, every devil that ever dared to hurt you, and raise you in his hand, giving you a risen and glorified body of your own. Your judge is Jesus. And if this Jesus is the one who rules and reigns over all things right now, and if this Jesus is the one who has scribed your name in the book of life with his own blood, then no matter how bad the not okay becomes, you are better than okay. Because Jesus' judgment day is coming, and on that day, the not okay will be destroyed. And all that will be left is the good, and the beautiful, and the perfect. And by God's grace, that includes you. Right now, we, the saints militant, are better than okay. And those who have died in the Lord, the saints triumphant that we celebrated last weekend, they're even better off than we are. But even though both they and we are better than okay, we are not complete yet. As both our voices and their voices rise to our righteous judge, giving him glory and praise, one refrain marks them both. How long, Lord? How long? While we on earth wait for heaven, those in heaven are waiting too for something better. And something better is coming. A day when will come when we with they will be brought together again and made complete. A day is coming when we will leave behind the not okay and it will be perfect forever. On that day, those who have died in the Lord and currently sleep in the dust of the earth will rise, body and soul, And they, with those who are still alive, will meet together with the Lord in the air, and they will be with the Lord forever. All sin and death and fear and hell forgotten. That day will mark the beginning of a new life. A new life of body and soul, perfectly whole, perfectly together, in the new heavens and the new earth. We will no longer strain our senses to hear the distant triumph song. No, that distant triumph song will be very present. And it will fill our ears and our mouths and our hearts as we join that victorious throng and sing to the Lamb to whom we belong. No wonder Satan is anxious. No wonder Satan is desperate. Judgment Day is coming. So on this side of heaven, he is going to throw at you all he can. But don't be afraid. Jesus is coming back. And just as Satan's heart races with anxiety, may our hearts race too, but with anticipation. Because our time with Satan is coming to an end. And our time with Jesus is just beginning. And you know what? That's okay. No, that's better than okay. That's perfect. Amen.